I say, as I started to look at this passage, I thought primarily on the verses 24 and 25. And I thought, you know, there's a great gospel message. We read the words, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And as I looked at this passage, I says, this is not a gospel text. Yes, we can perhaps apply it, but we have to take Scripture in context. And to lift this verse out of these pages and to take it simply and purely as a gospel text is not doing justice to what the Apostle Paul has set out in this passage. And as I say, as I started to look at it, the passage opened up. The passage became more difficult. As I looked at different commentators, there was enough that even on the first opening line that we could have preached three or four sermons. Perhaps not that you would have wanted to listen to me, but we could. But there was so much in this passage. And as I say, tonight we can but start to scratch the surface. And I want to look at these two verses particularly. And I want tonight, as we sit here in Achilles, like so many other churches, probably the most, if not all, here tonight are saved. But there is a message for us from God's word. But if you're not saved and you are here, there is also a message for you. As we take a look into the passage, we know that it's written by the Apostle Paul. And we take this man as a great warrior of the faith. And here he pens these words. And I believe as he stands, or as he pens these words, that he is reflecting upon his own struggles. He is confessing the inward struggles in his own life. Commentators will tell us that this was in a past time. That this was before he came to know the Lord, or shortly after he was saved. But I do not believe that is the case. Because Paul, time and time and time again, as we read the epistles, he exhorts the believers to beware. He exhorts the believers to stand fast in the faith. He exhorts the believers to put off the things that they should not be doing, the things that war in the flesh. And I believe that the Apostle Paul is speaking here from daily experience. Does the Apostle not talk about the thorn in the flesh which he suffers? We're not told what it is. There is speculation as to what that may be. But we know that Paul has difficulty and trial and struggles in his own life. And I believe this passage sets out for us what Paul suffers and what Paul struggles with. And brethren and sisters, each one of us tonight, surely we can say with the Apostle Paul that this passage is applicable to each of us. You know, many people today will stand, and we can switch on the TV and we can turn on the God channel, and there will be those that will stand up and they will tell us that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we will not have any problems. We'll have no more financial difficulty. We'll not sin. We'll live perfect lives. If we have problems in our lives, perhaps that is a result of sin. And yes, we can have problems in our lives as a result of sin. But that's not the reason for all problems in our lives. There are trials, there are difficulties that are sent. And those trials and those difficulties are sent to make us stronger. They prove our faith time and time again. And they prove our reliance on the Lord. For when the difficulty comes, we can do nothing, only turn to the Lord for help. I remember reading somewhere recently of one particular man. And if you sent so many dollars to him, he would send you a handkerchief with oil on it. And it had been prayed over and blessed. And if you took this handkerchief, then this would give you a measure for a time of health. And would, if you had a problem, if I remember reading it, and dare I say I laughed, but yet the sadness of it, that if you had an injury, if you wrapped this handkerchief round it, that it could heal it. And that is what we're being bombarded with. And people are cast down because they're told that if there are problems in their lives, if they're struggling, then it is a result of sin. And yes, it is as a result of sin. But thank God for the believer that our sin is underneath the blood. Christ made one sacrifice, and he has atoned for sin. And thank and praise the Lord that the day and hour that we put our trust in him, the day and hour that you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that those sins are under the blood. But that does not mean we do not have difficulties. For as we read in this passage, Paul says that he is carnal. And Paul says that that which he wants to do, he does not. And that which he doesn't want to do, that which he knows he is wrong, yet he still does it. Can we say that Paul was out of touch with Christ? Can we say that Paul was openly sinning? Can we say that Paul was not walking in fellowship with the Lord? Brethren and sisters, we cannot. Oh, that each one of us were like the Apostle Paul. You know, brethren and sisters, life is a struggle. We all face difficulties day by day. As our faces differ, so do our needs. But you know, brethren and sisters, from this passage, this highlights the problem. And we need to be supporting each other. We need to be bearing one another's burdens, as Paul encouraged other believers. We need to be found in the place of prayer, upholding our brethren and sisters in Christ. For Satan will do everything within his power to destroy the life and the testimony of the believer. And each one of us can say, as we listen and you invite somebody along, perhaps to come to a special meeting, and they turn around and say, well, I wouldn't want to go there because I know so-and-so and he says he's a Christian. And if that's what a Christian is, well, I don't want anything to do with it. And they will use it as an excuse. And they will say that the believer is meant to be this perfect person. I'm sure there's not one in here tonight as a believer that will say they're anything but perfect. For each one of us have our weaknesses. Each one of us have our faults. And each one of us fail the Lord day by day. We suffer. We have sickness. We have trials. But Paul, as he speaks about the problems that he has here, this is the same Paul who is encouraging believers to fight the good fight and to be overcomers in the trials. You know, yet in our verse 24 and 25, we see that Paul is in desperation over this physical frailty. We see the desperation of the believer, for he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is the man, this is the great apostle who has known the blessing of the Lord. And yet, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He does the things which he knows are contrary to the life of the believer. Those things which he warns others about. Those things that he tells believers that they're to beware of. And why? Because he knows in his own life the trials and the struggles. As Paul exhorts fellow believers, he knows in and out of himself in personal experience what each one can go through. And how often are we like the apostle? How often do we know what we ought to be doing, and yet we do it not? How often do we say something and when we have it said, we suddenly realize that we should not have said it. And we all struggle day by day in our own way. We sin daily in thought, word and deed. We fail the Lord time and time again. And yet he has told us that in his word, that his grace is sufficient for us. For he will not send any trial without the strength to bear it. And it is only because we try and face the trial on our own strength that we face so much difficulty. Surely, as we know from Scripture, if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could move a mountain. And yet, his grace is sufficient for us. Yet how little faith we have. May I say at this point that if you're sitting here tonight and what I'm talking about, you're saying, well, I don't really have struggles and I don't really have trials and I don't struggle with sin and thoughts and words, then, dear friend, I would ask you tonight even to question your salvation. And that's something to say. But if you have no struggles and you have no trials in your life, and if you can sin willfully day by day, then I ask you to question, are you saved? For 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 7, we read the words, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And if the things of your past life are still there and they don't bother you, then, my friend, tonight you have a problem. The true test of salvation is that turning away from willful sin and seeking for that which is good. And friend, tonight, if you are sinning willfully, then you are not walking with the Lord. If I allow myself to willfully sin time and time and time again, then I am not walking with the Lord. And we need to examine our own lives daily. As we think about this verse again, O wretched man that I am, and we take a look at that word that we have there, wretched. And in college, we have to do Greek. I don't really understand why. But we have to do Greek. Yes, it's very difficult. And I struggle with it. But at the same time, we can look at a word and we can find the meaning of it. And that is why. And I can go and I can take this word, wretched, and I can look at it. And it's a very, very simple word. It simply means enduring trial or most miserable. And Paul in this verse is saying, in my trials, I am most miserable. I am wretched, I'm most miserable. Through the trials of the flesh, those that war inside me, I am most miserable of all men. And he says, I am wretched. And you know, friends, surely when the trial comes in around us and we let it overcome us, surely do we not become most miserable? Do we not miss out on the joy of the Lord when we let the trial come in around us and we do not seek for the Lord's help? In our trials, we need to flee to Calvary. We need to flee to the Word of God and we need to claim the promises of Scripture. We need to seek his face. For in those trials, we will find strength before the Lord on our knees. In those trials, we will take courage through his word. Or else, we will be most miserable. The apostle here is saying the struggle between the flesh and the mind or the spirit are making his life most miserable and causing great despair. And again, I must ask the question, does our sin make us miserable, and does it cause us to despair? Or perhaps we have grown complacent to it. You know, a friend of mine one evening, taking a youth meeting, started to speak on what he called acceptable sins. And you may look and say, Raymond, there's no such thing as an acceptable sin. Well, his topic that he was given that evening was, can a Christian be homosexual? And he addressed that topic. And in the midst of that meeting, he asked the question, is this sin really as great a sin, towering above all other sins? Or have we simply grown used to other sins, like adultery, like lying? And they have now become acceptable. Well, that's life now, isn't it? Sure, everybody's doing it. Once upon a time, you could have sat, and if something would have came onto the TV, you would have turned it off. And now, it has, in a sense, become acceptable to us. And we can sit and we can watch on. And we can see the filth on our screens. And it doesn't have the impact that it used to have. Why? Because to a degree, it has now become acceptable. And perhaps, believer, there is some sin in your life, and at one time you struggled with it, and now it has become acceptable. Brethren and sisters, let us examine our lives. Any sin in our lives should cause us to concern. Any sin in our lives should cause us to flee to the Lord. We think of the words of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. These are the words of Habakkuk speaking of the Lord. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And friend, tonight, we need to examine our lives. Perhaps you are in desperation over some sin. You need to flee to Christ. Secondly, I want to think of a type of isolation which he felt. We read in the second half of verse 24 the words, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Again, with this part of the verse, commentators differ. Some say that he is wishing that he would be delivered from the trials of life, that the Lord would take him home to glory, that these trials would be shaken off, that he would be delivered from his body, even through death, and that he would not experience these trials anymore. Although, again, we have to question that. And even though Paul longs for glory, he says, yet for me to live is Christ. And yes, today is gain. But for Paul to live is to glory in Christ. For Paul to live is to tell unbelievers of their need of salvation. And so I don't believe that from this verse that Paul wants to be removed from this life. But if we turn back to chapter 6 and verse 6, we read these words. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. This body of death, some of the commentators tell us that it's like the carcass of the old man. Paul in Christ is a new creature, but still within him is the carcass of the old man. And it is, as it were, strapped to his back. And no matter how he does, no matter how he seeks to live for the Lord, yet this old life is still in the background. This old life still seeks to war within his members. And it draws him to say, that which I would, I do not. And that which I would, I do not. He speaks of the sin which so easily besets him. He sees in verse 23 of the passage that we have read, the old man warring within him, and thus bringing him into captivity. And yet in Christ he is a new creature. But yet he still struggles with the flesh. In his mind he seeks to serve the Lord. And brethren and sisters, as we think of this carcass, surely it causes us to think that we need to die daily to sin. That we need to do all that we can to withhold from sin. You know, we need to seek the Lord daily for cleansing. Yes, we may be saved. We are washed in the blood of Christ and our sins are forgiven. But as I said, and as each one of us know, we do fail the Lord day and daily. And we need to come daily for cleansing. You know, I was in a meeting a few months ago. One of the other students was preaching. He says, you know, he says it's like coming into the house and to go for a meal. You wash your hands. You wouldn't think of going and showering from top to bottom just to sit down to eat your dinner. That is the washing of the blood of Christ at salvation. But we need to come daily for cleansing. And we need to lay our faults and our failures before the Lord. And thank the Lord, praise the Lord, they are covered by his blood. But we need to confess our faults and we need to confess our sins. Very quickly, my time is beating me once again. We want to look at verse 25. And we see, therefore, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And even in his despair for this sin that is weighing him down, even in the midst of this situation, even in the midst of crying out, oh wretched man that I am, Paul knows that he is saved. Paul knows that he is a child of God. And that through the Lord Jesus Christ that he can overcome. In verse 22 of our chapter, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Even in the midst of all these problems, even in the midst of my despair for sin, I can turn to the Lord. I can claim his promises. I delight in the law of the Lord. Brethren and sisters, when the trials come in around us, can we say we delight in the law of the Lord? Can we say that we have this hope within us? Can we say and claim the promises of his word that when Satan does his utmost to bring us down, for he will, when the problems come, when we fail the Lord, will he not say to us, there you go, you've done it again. You've let the Lord down. What sort of a Christian are you? And how easy it is for us to despair and perhaps sin again and sin again that day because we feel that we have failed the Lord and we feel we are worthless. But when the attack of Satan comes, brethren and sisters, we need to be able to claim the promises of His word. That is why we need to be reading the scriptures. That's why we need to be like the psalmist, meditating upon the law of the Lord and hiding it in our hearts. That when these trials come, when we feel Him, that we can claim the promises of Scripture. With his mind, he seeks to serve the Lord, but the flesh wars within him. Without the help of the Holy Spirit day by day, he can have no victory. But with the help of the Spirit, victory is assured. And again, brothers and sisters, day by day, as we rise in the morning, we need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, who will guide us and direct us as we seek to live for the Lord. We need to be filled. We need to know His presence with us. And we need to know communion with Him. But you know, isn't it great to say that even through these difficulties, as chapter 8 and verse 1 says, as Paul rejoices that through God and through Christ he can overcome, that he is able to say in chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Hallelujah. The work on Calvary covers all sin for those that trust in Christ. And even though we fail the Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation. Brethren and sisters, we need to seek to walk in God's ways. We need to seek to rest on the promises of the Scriptures. We need to seek to put off the old man. We need to put on the armor of God for the battle, not only outward but inward. But you know, as our time comes to a close, we can turn that verse round. In chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But the other hand, those who are not in Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. There is judgment. For the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And if there's one here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then someday you will stand before Him. And you will hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed. And you will be cast into that everlasting flame, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not PC now to talk about hell. But friend, my Bible speaks of hell. My Saviour warns of hell. It's a real place. And friend, tonight, if you could come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, look at your own life. My prayer is that you would say even tonight, cause to realize your sin and say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Friend, if you will only come to that place, I thank God that you can be saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not saved, put your trust in him tonight. brethren. Go out with the words, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing.